It's time for the Hockey Writers Grindline, a weekly show covering everything Detroit Red Wings. Brought to you by our own iconic top line of Wings writers. Sit back and enjoy the grind.
Welcome to the Hockey Writers Grindline. I'm your host, Pat Brown, and joining me as always, my line mate, Devin Little. Devin, how you doing?
Always a treat to be here with you, Pat. How you doing?
Doing great. And look at this. We've got a first timer on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us for the very first time, our brand new THW line mate, Logan Horn. Logan, how you doing today?
Hi, I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be a part of this. It's a lot of fun. I've watched a few of these videos, listened to the podcast, so it's exciting to be a part of it on the other side.
Well, we are thrilled to have you. Looking forward to talking a little hockey. Before we get started, just reminding you at home, this week's show being brought to you by the Hockey Writer Sports Betting Guide, a brand new source for your daily sports betting odds, lines, props, and futures, as well as some daily fantasy strategies and analysis. Make sure to follow THW Bets on Twitter to get the latest on everything sports betting. And if you do decide to bet, please do so responsibly. If you or anyone you know has a problem with gambling, please check out the resources that we have for you in the description down below. So now let's get on to the show, boys. We're going to start with an oldie, but a goodie that I haven't actually partaken in a while because we did our grindies last week. So let's start off with one good, one bad. And I'll go pretty quick here. My one good is that the Islanders fired Barry Trotz. And my one bad is that the Islanders fired Barry Trotz because I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to, you know, the Twitter sphere or social media in general, but seems like when the news that Trotz was let go was announced, every single fan of every single team that's looking for a head coach was like, oh, Trotz would be a great fit. He would be a great fit. I mean, we released, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but earlier this week, we released our column on who we thought would be a good replacement for Jeff Blashill. And even us collectively were like, we put this down before we knew Trotz was fired. So I think that's a mark of a coach that has left his mark on the league. Yeah. And as for what he decides to do, it seems like he'll have no shortage of options. But that's my one good. And then again, the one bad, Lou, what are you thinking? Yeah. What are you thinking? Making these decisions in a little bubble, it seems. He was very clear that he was the person who made the decision and seemed to have been much maligned kind of throughout the league. So an interesting series of events this week, but that's my one good, one bad for the week. So Logan, let's hit the new guy here. One good, one bad for the week. What you got for us?
All right. This might be controversial because this is a Red Wings.
Oh boy.
This is a Red Wings space, but I just need to say that Cale Makar, my good for the week, is that Cale Makar might be the best player in the NHL.
Not just the best defenseman, best player.
Yeah, best. I don't know. I think he's at least put himself in that conversation. 10 points in four games. Mm-hmm. No defenseman has ever done that in the first four games of the playoffs in NHL history. Not Bobby Orr, not Chris Chelios or Ray Bourque or anyone. Paul Coffey. No one's ever done that. Only Cale Makar. It's a list of one. That is just kind of insane. I mean, he might not play enough games just because if they sweep everyone every round, he might not play enough games to make a huge difference. He might only get 16 games in, but at this rate, 40 points in a playoff year for a defenseman, that would be pretty cool. You know,
yeah,
it'd be pretty impressive. And then my bad for the week is I just wanted to temper things out and go in the opposite direction. So back to the Red Wings. It's that Jonathan Berggren tested positive for COVID, meaning that he wasn't able to travel for the World Championships for Team Sweden. That was a bummer. There's still a few, well, if you saw the tweet from the Red Wings account, there's quite a few Red Wings players and prospects playing there, but that would have been one of the highlights for sure. So
got to do my hype train backup, right? Choo choo.
Yeah.
I am the conductor, Logan, of the Jonathan Berggren hype train. I think it was my second article, but one of my trial articles at the Hockey Writers was on Berggren almost 2 years ago. So been on that train for a while, and I'm with you there. So good stuff. Devin, over to you. What you got? One good, one bad for the week that was.
Yeah, like you, Pat, I don't have anything Red Wings related this week. My one bad, I'll start with a bad, is just overall officiating in the playoffs. Seems like nobody's happy with officiating on either side of any team that's in this tournament right now. And maybe that means it's somewhat fair. If everyone's upset, then that means, you know, it's not favoritism or anything. But like at the same time, everyone's upset with the officials right now. It's not a good look. And then my one good, I'm going to single out one series that I'm enjoying watching, and that is the Tampa Bay Toronto series. That series is going to game 7 tomorrow, I believe. And, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be in Toronto. Everyone knows what's on every Toronto fan's mind going into that game. and it's been a high flying series. Vasilevsky hasn't allowed less than 3 goals. So, you know, goals are getting scored. And like I said, it's a game 7 in a good series. I'm expecting a good game tomorrow. So looking forward to that.
As of right now, I think I saw earlier today, the cheapest ticket for that is $500. Yeah. Cheapest ticket for the game 7 of the first round is $500.
Keep in mind, that's 500 Canadian. So it's a little less.
Going in the dodgeball mode. I like that. But wait, if we do the conversion that way, we actually owe more. No. Yeah. So even so, it's a solid chunk of change. And don't get me wrong, I'll be jealous of pretty much anybody in that building, because Devin, like you said, it's going to be a memorable one for sure. So we'll see. You know, I'm actually going to deviate 2 seconds. Curious. Game 7, Tampa, Toronto. Who you got, Devin?
I believe this is the year Toronto breaks the curse, so I got Toronto.
Logan, who you got?
I have Toronto, too.
I'm going with the Lightning, just because we can't have a clean sweep. We can't have a clean sweep.
Can't have that.
So, anyways, thanks for playing along. Good stuff. All right, up next, draft lottery happened, gents. And, well, the Red Wings didn't fall back. So there's that. The Red Wings stood pat in the draft lotto. They were 8th overall. They ended up with the 8th overall pick. So before we talk about who you think they might end up with the 8th overall pick, which I do want to talk about, let's first talk about just your overall takeaways from the draft lottery itself. Montreal takes the top overall pick. New Jersey slides up to 2-2, and Arizona rounds out with the 3rd overall pick. They dropped one spot technically. So what are your thoughts of the draft lotto, how it went, and how it ended up for the Red Wings? Devin, let's start with you.
Well, I think you kind of summarized it at the top there, where they didn't fall backwards, and Lord knows they've done a lot of that since they stopped making the playoffs. So if they're not going to go up, you got to hope that they just kind of stay pat, and that's where they're at. And it was like a month ago or so, pretty much right after the trade deadline, where I'd said that I wanted to see the Red Wings secure a top 10 pick. Even if they had fallen back 2 spots, they were still going to pick 10th. So they had that secure, but picking 8th is a lot better than picking 10th, let me tell you. And I think they're in a good range where they're still good. They're going to end up with a good prospect, I guarantee you. As for who, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but there's no shortage of quality blue chippers that should be available at 8. So whereas if they're picking 10, you're probably picking like whoever's left basically. So I'm content with them at 8. I'm sure Yzerman is content with it too. Of course, would have loved to see him jump up, but they should still get a potential franchise cornerstone out of that pick.
Makes sense. Logan, over to you. Your takeaways from the NHL draft lottery, how it went, how the Red Wings fared, and any other miscellaneous thoughts you may have.
Sure. Yeah. I think there's never been a fan base so happy to pick 8th overall. Not moving down in the lottery is a blessing for this Red Wings fan base. That's just had the worst luck. And a lot of people are pretty upset seeing the last 2 years, the people with the team with the best odds at first overall getting first overall in Buffalo and now Montreal, looking back on that.
You mean that 2020 can happen? Draft.
Yeah. I didn't know that was legal.
Because of the Red Wings, basically, is why pretty that much. Can happen.
Yeah, they were like, oh, that's bad. We should probably fix that. Yeah, I think the fan base seems pretty comfortable and happy and a lot of trust in Yzerman that he'll be able to find, like you said, Devin, a potential franchise cornerstone player at eighth. There's a lot of people to pick. One thing I want to mention is it's kind of become assumed in a lot of circles that Logan Cooley is the second overall pick. Now that the New Jersey Devils have the second overall pick, they do have two established first overall picks as their top two centers. And I would personally be pretty surprised if they picked Logan Cooley there. You know, GMs always say we pick the best player available regardless. But that's not always true. They can convince themselves it's the best player, even if it's not. With how Slafkovský has been playing lately, especially at the World Championships today, he got 2 points and was overall pretty dominant. Though, take it with a grain of salt, it was against France. He's looking pretty good. And I feel like there's a good shot that if that pick stays with New Jersey, it could be Slafkovský instead of Cooley, who would then bump down to third and be picked by Arizona, which I think is a win for them, even though they lost the lottery.
Yeah, I'll make a, he's no British sensation, Liam Kerr, right, Devin? Sorry. I know inside jokes are bad on podcasts, but I had to. No, in fact, Logan, it's funny. I was actually on Locked On Coyotes yesterday, talked about that very point. And so that's kind of, I don't want to say it's ironic, but the Coyotes should have picked second. Right. I agree with you. I don't think the Devils take Cooley at second. So I think he still slides down. And I think the Coyotes get him at third, which will be a really good pickup for them. And I think everybody wins. Montreal gets Shane Wright. I think it's a good situation for all. So really quick, I kind of like what both of you said. Okay. Didn't move up, didn't move down. You got number 8. I don't know how many tankathons I did, but the Wings ended up like 10 most of the time on the tankathons that I was doing. So it was a pleasant surprise to see them come in at 8. We'll see how it pans out. So let's talk about that 8th overall pick, because there's a fair amount of guesswork once you get past 3, I would say. Yeah. How the rest are going to shake out, right? So, Logan, going to start with you. What do you see the Red Wings doing at 8th overall? Is there a name in mind that you think they might be targeting?
Sure, yeah. I think everyone's talked a ton about how much they need a second center. And I think that's the direction they'll go, unless somehow all of the top like 6 or 7 centers go right before their pick and they're left with Simone Nemets or something. And I think they'd be happy that with that too. But I'm thinking if he slips, one name that I have been trying to keep my eye on is Matthew Savoy. It seemed like he was a guaranteed top 5 at the start of the year, but he slipped around, not due to a poor season of his own. He was excellent in the WHL. Just a few other guys had more exciting seasons, I suppose, and they passed him. If he does slip, which he could also because he's a little bit of a smaller player by NHL GM standards, even though we all know that's kind of unrealistic. But anyway, he would be an excellent player. One of those centers that could end up getting shifted to the wing, but if he can make it at center, that would be a game changer for the Red Wings.
So that is one of the names I actually have on my sheet right in front of me, Matthew Savoy. I have one other name, and I have this crazy feeling that Devin, and maybe I'm wrong, I have this crazy feeling that Devin may be about to say it. So, Devin, Red Wings picking 8th overall. Who do you see them targeting?
Well, I'm going to start by doing a quick little plug here. Check out Prospects Corner tomorrow. We're doing a mock draft, and you will see who I draft for the Red Wings. Now, to actually talk about it on this show, I've got about four or five guys that I think should be targets for the Red Wings, depending on how things shake out. Savoy's on that list. I agree with Logan with everything he said about him. The other, I'll name two of the other guys. One of them, you know, the Red Wings love their Swedes. So I think Jonathan Lekaramäki is definitely a name to look at.
That's my second name.
Yep. Yep. Dude can score. Dude, Swedish. Dude would look fantastic across from Lucas Raymond. So I think he's a name to look out for. And then the other one would be Frank Nazar. Frank Nazar, local kid, kind of a smaller dude, but has offense through the wazoo. Yep. Kind of reminds me of Alex DeBrincat a little bit. Not, you know, not one for one, but there's some qualities there that kind of reminded me of him. And I think that Nazar is someone who could play center in the future. Again, I think he's probably more of a winger at the NHL, but he could play center. And Lekaramäki, I think, is going to end up being a winger. So if you're looking for a center, those probably aren't the best guys, but you can move things around. And I wouldn't write off Nazar specifically being at center completely, but long story short, what you should get from this is that the Red Wings should be able to add a premier offensive talent at eight, because whether it's Savoy, Lekaramäki, or Nazar, or anybody else that I could name, all of those guys project to be high or top tier offensive players. So do not look down on eighth overall, because they should still get a really quality prospect.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, both, you actually rolled off a few more names, Devin, but both of the first two names, Savoy and Lekaramäki, were the top two on my list. I got Nazar in the back of my head as well. I actually did a profile on him, and he's an impressive player. So I find it interesting that this draft is billed as not as one of the deeper drafts in recent memory, but there is still some high quality talent, especially when you start looking in the first 8-9 selections.
Yeah.
You know, so Logan, you mentioned Nimitz as well. He'll be a great pickup. He'll go probably well before 8, but he'll be a solid pickup for a team. And should he happen to fall down to 8, I don't think anybody could fault Yzerman for taking him. So I think there's a lot to look out for. Hard to believe we're still a little under 2 months away from the NHL draft, but I guess that's what comes with doing Red Wing stuff, is that's where we are thinking right now in between golf outings. So
always thinking of the future,
right? Exactly. But good stuff. Just a reminder for you at home, today's show brought to you by the Hockey Writers Sports Betting Guide. If I were a betting man, which I am, I'd wager that this is the most comprehensive guide around. Make sure you check it out. Remember, please, please bet responsibly. And if you or anyone you know has a gambling addiction, please take advantage of the resources that we have listed in the description down below. So we are speaking of golfing on the back nine already. Let's talk about, it's hard to believe we haven't talked about Jeff Blashill. We didn't have much of an opportunity to last week because we did our grindy awards, but he's gone. Jeff Blashill wasn't, you know, he's not coming back to the team, as Yzerman so eloquently put it. So rather than rehash feelings around him being let go, I want to talk about the Grindline column that we released this past Monday. Everybody should go to hockeywriters.com and check it out. And I'm curious who you guys think the top candidates could be to replace Blashill. Now, remember, when we wrote the column, Barry Trotz was not an option yet. So much like Kyle did last week, it's okay to change your answers if you need to. So I'll tell you what, I will actually kick it off first. And I'm sticking with my pick, which may ruffle a few feathers, but I'm okay with that. I think John Tortorella is a fantastic candidate. Yeah, Logan, your expression says it all. And I love it. And I absolutely love it. I love every second of it, because I think that's what the Red Wings need right now. I think the Red Wings need a coach who's going to be abrasive. I think the Red Wings need a coach who's going to challenge them and get the most out of them, because you look at Blashill, he was a player's coach. Remind you of anybody like Dave Lewis before Mike Babcock came in? Remind you, you know, it's just very interesting to see Blashill at some point. I don't want to say he lost the team, but they just didn't seem to have it. They didn't seem to have that extra gear when they needed it. Every now and then you'd see it, but I don't think it was his coaching necessarily. I don't think it was his plays. I just don't think he was getting the most out of the team because he was a player's coach. So let's bring in someone abrasive. Let's see how it goes and let me hear it down in the comments. I cannot wait. But I think John Tortorella is a fine, fine candidate to replace Jeff Blashill. So, Logan, we will come to you next. Who do you have as a good candidate, your top candidate perhaps, to replace Blashill?
All right. I'm just going way off the board. Like, this is nothing that anyone would expect, and I fully expect to be wrong. But I'm going off of the, I'm following the trend. The last two coaches that Yzerman has hired, Guy Boucher and John Cooper, mm-hmm. both in Tampa Bay, neither of them had any NHL coaching experience.
Absolutely.
And we talk all the time about coaches and general managers, how there's like 30, 35 guys that just get cycled through every team. Yep. You get fired here, you get hired there. And I think he's going to bring in some fresh meat again. The thing is, both of those two coaches came from the AHL and this one does not. But my pick is someone that I'll admit I didn't know his name before this because I just did some searching. Fred Harbinson. He is the head coach of the Penticton Vs in the BCHL, British Columbia Hockey League. That team, I did know this, that team has been absolutely dominant for over a decade. They've been at the top of their conference every year. They've won 4 or 5 championships. Just a dominant team. And I don't know. I think John Cooper, Steve Yzerman are from BC. Stevie's from Cranbrook, I think. And Harbinson works in BC, is from BC. Maybe that connection counts for something. But I do think it's a possibility that both Guy Boucher, like I mentioned, Guy Boucher and John Cooper came from the AHL and were promoted with very little AHL experience, to be fair. But it could be maybe someone like John Tortorella gets hired for a year or two, but they also bring in someone from the USHL or Junior A in Canada somewhere, or the CHL, and they bring them up to the AHL squad. Give them a couple years, see if they're going to be the right fit for when the team is really, really, really at the competitive window, when that person could be promoted to head coach of the Red Wings. So that's my pick, Fred Harbinson. If I'm right, everyone listen to this, everyone remember this, and I'll be a hero. But if I'm wrong, which is probably going to happen, just forget about it. Don't worry about it.
Well, I have to say, I really like you going off the board a little bit there. My brother, Nate, who is a guest periodically on the show as well, he and I kind of got it, not into an argument necessarily, but like I was adamant that Yzerman would bring somebody in with NHL experience at this point. Yeah. And he kindly reminded me of Boucher and Cooper. And I would say John Cooper worked out pretty damn well. So... I think you made some great points, and we'll keep our eyes peeled because if that comes true, you better run out and buy a lottery ticket too.
Yep.
That'll be good stuff. All right, Devin, you got the last word on this one. Who does Yzerman bring in to replace Jeff Blashill?
Well, I want to start by saying the Trotz thing intrigues me because the one thing When Yzerman had his little end of year press conference, what he made clear is that the biggest reason why Blashill lost his job is because this team took steps backwards defensively. And we saw that on the ice throughout the season. The team just was porous defensively. And some of it was personnel, but a lot of it was just not doing what they needed to do to prevent goals from happening. So, and what is Barry Trotz known for? Barry Trotz is known for implementing a system that locks stuff down. You know, his teams are always going to play, for lack of better words, a boring style of hockey because they are sound defensively. If Yzerman's main goal is to bring some defensive accountability to this team, I don't know that you're going to get better than Barry Trotz. However, from my own point of view, I don't know if you want to bring in a coach that's going to teach boring hockey. We've got Jakub Vrána on the team. We've got Lucas Raymond, all these other guys that can be explosive in the right situation. So for me, I don't want them to be handcuffed by a system that preaches defense first. Now, defense is of course important, but if, you know, Vrana's not going to score 40 goals in a Barry Trotz system, he's just not, you know, he's not. So what I want to see is I want to see them bring in someone who has a good, you know, tendencies in both offense and defense, but also is, like Logan mentioned, a fresh face, someone that we haven't seen behind the bench before. My pick for that column is who I'm going to talk about, and that guy is Ryan Warsawski, the head coach of the Chicago Wolves. Since he became a head coach in the AHL just 3 seasons ago, all this guy has done is win, 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 no matter what. Dude has a resume already from doing that. He coaches a style similar to what Rod Brind'Amour does in Carolina. And if you've ever watched the Carolina Hurricanes play, they play exciting hockey, and that's what I want the Red Wings to play. He's young, he's 34. I mean, Mark Stahl's older than this guy, so he'd bring a youthful energy behind the bench that I think would be infectious, especially for the young guys, the Siders, the Raymonds, the Edmondson, so on and so forth. And he's just a fresh face, you know, he's going to bring new ideas to the table. So I understand the thinking behind bringing in a Trotz or a Tortorella, and I think that there's merit to those ideas. I'm not trying to diminish those at all.
Sure.
But I want to see a fresh face. I want to see new ideas get brought behind the bench. I think that's a big reason why Alex Tanguay kept his job, because he's kind of a fresh face himself. And I think that, just like I said, that youthful energy behind the bench would go a long way to helping this team as it continues to get younger.
Yeah, well, Tanguay didn't keep his job because of how the special teams performed. I can tell you that much.
Darn right about that.
So I'm going to do it again. I'm going off, by the way, some really, really good selections, guys, for real. Going off script for itinerary for 30 seconds. Want to know from both of you, Logan, we'll start with you. Is this Steve Yzerman's biggest move to this point as GM, having to hire this coach?
That's a great question. It may be, because he drafts a lot of players.
Yeah.
You don't select a lot of coaches.
Yeah. And he inherited the coaches he has.
And the right coach, like we said, it worked out pretty well when he picked John Cooper, back-to-back cups. It could be a huge thing for the culture of a team, like you see in Vancouver when they fired Travis Green and brought in Bruce Boudreau. Like, it changed the outlook of that whole team. I think I needed to convince myself of it by just thinking out loud, but I think I'm going to go with yes.
Every now and then, it's rookie hazing is what that was. That's why you went first. That's why you went first. Devin, same question to you. I mean, like Logan said, Yzerman's done a lot with the draft. He's made a lot of trades. He hasn't had to bring in a head coach yet with the Red Wings. So is this Yzerman's biggest test, biggest move to this point?
I think so. And the biggest reason why is because a bad coach can ruin good players. And if you don't have the right fit, you're going to waste, for lack of better words, the early years of Lucas Raymond and Sider and Edvinson and so on and so forth, and the prime years of Larkin and Bertuzzi and whoever else might be here. So I think you've got to get the right guy, because you've got to get this train moving keep this train moving in the right direction, and keep it going a little bit faster, as a matter of fact. And it's got to be a good fit to, you know, squeeze out the most talent out of these rookies and these players who are in their prime. So I think it is, because, you know, drafting players is one thing, but if you hire a bad coach, people are going to be a little bit more skeptical about the Yzer plan. And, you know, it's people are upset that he kept Blashill as long as he did. So can you imagine if he hires a bad coach?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think, hands down, this is the biggest move that he's making. Anything before this, from a head coaching perspective, I didn't hire him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And who he could even, I don't mean to say hide behind, because he's got a clear plan, but he can say, you know, who else am I going to bring in? This team has nobody. We're still developing talent, and Blashill has developed talent at every level. So he's been able to lean on that. Now it's his guy. It is going to be his guy. So that'll be interesting to see. But I was just curious what you guys thought, and thanks for playing around. So kind of along those same lines, if Yzerman brings in the best possible hire, whoever that may be, do you think the Wings have the ability to potentially contend for a playoff spot next season? Logan, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. I think even if they still had Jeff Blashill next year, they could contend. There's enough changes that'll go on aside from just the brand new head coach, with more prospects graduating to the NHL, Bergeron, Edvinson, tons. There'll probably be a few more. I don't know. Just you hear a new one every other week, basically, that's coming over. And I'm sure there'll be some trades, some more draft picks. We'll only see Sider and Raymond get better. So then on top of that, if he picks the right coach, finds the right fit, that could be something special. Both the coaches, or well, that you mentioned, you didn't pick, but for their head coach, like, have had situations that aren't the right fit. Like Barry Trotz, I think of Matthew Barzal and how his game got very strange after Trotz came in. And at very least the offense dried up pretty seriously. And with Tortorella, I think of Patrick Laine and how ill-suited their games were for each other. So fit is everything. Yep. And if they find the right fit that they can maximize their best players, this team will absolutely be contending for playoffs next year.
Love it. Love it. Devin, same question. If Yzerman makes the right hire as head coach, can the Red Wings contend for a playoff spot next season?
I think Logan said it right there in the beginning of his answer. We were saying, you know, weeks ago, months ago, that we kind of expect this team to be like knocking on the door, hanging around the playoff picture for most of next season. And I don't know about you guys, but I was saying that under the impression that Blashill would still be here. I wasn't expecting a new coach. So with Blashill, they could contend for a playoff spot. If they get in a new coach that can, you know, bring out even more of the talent and they're better defensively and they're even better offensively, then hell yeah, they can contend for a playoff spot. Like Logan said, you're going to see more progress from Sider and Raymond, hopefully. You'll see another injection of rookie talent, Bergeron and Edvinson, most likely. And Yzerman's probably going to bring in some guys, make some trades, sign some free agents. This team should be better next season. And they were hanging around the playoff picture into February this season. So, you know, logic dictates there that they should still be kind of hovering around the playoff picture well past the trade deadline next year. Yep. So I think so. Absolutely.
Yep. I think that's good stuff. For what it's worth, I think regardless, they can absolutely contend. Agree with what both of you said. I actually think they're going to miss the playoffs next season. Now there may be a free agent splash. I don't expect one this off season, but there may be to kind of help up, but they're still going to be really young. They really still need to shore up that blue line, and you've got the right prospects in to be able to do that, but it's going to take some time. I think they contend. I do not think they make the playoffs, but I also hope that I'm wrong. So
ultimately I think missing the playoffs is still somewhat what's best for them because I mean, look what happened with Nashville. I think Nashville is a better team than Detroit right now. And they got dismantled by Colorado. Yeah. I don't want to see that happen to the Red Wings next season. Not yet, at least.
Nashville did it to itself though. They had four nothing lead on the Coyotes 7 minutes into the first period. All they needed was a point to clinch Calgary. Not that that's a great consolation, but it ain't Cale Makar's team, right?
Yeah.
And they couldn't even get a point. They lost 5-4 in regulation to the Coyotes. Great send-off for Gila River Arena, by the way, but awful, awful for Nashville. So, all right. Let's bring it home, and we're going to throw it back just a little bit to at least, well, when the Red Wings were making the playoffs. I want to ask both of you, and I'll go first. What's your favorite Red Wings first round playoff memory? And there's a lot of them because I'm old as dirt. But what I go back to actually is the 2002 playoffs against the Vancouver Canucks. And I was a senior in high school, believe it or not. And I recall, you know, the Wings were down 2-0.
Yep.
People were literally throwing like Hasek jerseys on the ice, as Nick Katsunika recalled in the championship video from that season. And I'll never forget when Nicholas Lidstrom scored from center ice on Cloutier, because my brother and I, we'd been waiting all series for the moment. It always felt like the Red Wings had a moment that kind of turned the tide on any of their championship seasons. And the second Lidstrom scored from center ice, we barely even celebrated. We looked at each other and said, there it is. And that absolutely proved to be the pivotal moment in that series. And as we all know, that team of that has 10 Hall of Famers on it right now will be 11 once Datsyuk is inevitably inducted into the Hall of Fame. That does count Scotty Bowman, by the way, as a Hall of Famer, but just insane when you think about that team. So that was fun to go down memory lane a little bit. And that's my favorite Red Wings first round playoff memory. And spoiler alert, every round we're going to do this again, boys. So let's have some fun with that. Devin, we'll send it to you next. Your favorite Red Wings first round playoff memory.
So I've got a couple and they go hand in hand. In 2004, so let me tell you this, I was a huge Curtis Joseph fan back in the day when he came to Detroit. I was all about that. In 2004, he basically became the Red Wings' third string goaltender because Dominic Hasek came back. Manny Legacy was having a really good season. So Curtis Joseph was the third goalie. He played some games in Grand Rapids that season, as a matter of fact. And Hasek ended up going down with an injury. He did not return. The Red Wings went down 0-2, I believe, in the opening round series against, or maybe it was tied up, I don't remember exactly. But they had Manny Legacy in to start against the Nashville Predators in the first round, and they switched, went to Curtis Joseph, and they wound up winning that series. Now they end up losing the next series to the Calgary Flames, but I've decided to erase that from my memory. It was cool to see Cujo come in and like be Curtis Joseph again. Now, fast forward 4 years against the Nashville Predators again, no less. Dominic Hasek wins the first two games in Detroit. And then they go to Nashville and they drop the next two games. So then what happens in game five? Pat, I know you know what happens because he's your favorite player.
Ozzie comes in.
And that was kind of the tide turning moment of their playoff run, in my opinion. They end up winning the next two games against Nashville, won that opening round series, and then went on to win their 11th Stanley Cup. First of all, I just thought it was funny that it both happened against Nashville, but I love usually, and this is something that Mike Babcock said back in the day.
I know.
Usually when you switch goalies, you're done.
You're golfing. I think you said you're golfing.
You're off to golf. Exactly. And both of these instances, they wound up winning those series. So love to see in both situations, it was a goalie that was kind of cast aside. Ozzie was the backup. He became the starter again. Curtis Joseph was a third stringer. He became a starter again. So love seeing those comeback stories. And I love that it led to a series win. And obviously the 08 one became more than just that.
If memory serves me correctly, I think Ozzie rolled off 8 straight wins.
Yes.
The last two against Nashville, they swept Colorado, and then they won the first two or three, two against Dallas.
Yep.
Nate and I were at game five where they could have clinched at the Joe. Oh, and they didn't. And that was Marty Turco. He heard me yelling at him during the post game interview. But I digress. All right. I've got us off track. I apologize. Logan, you got the last word of the show. Your favorite Red Wings first round playoff memory. What you got?
All right. Mine is a recent one, but about as recent as you can get because it's been a while. It's been a minute. Mine is from 2013, the first round series against the Anaheim Ducks. But I mean, you could pick a bunch of stuff from that series, but I'm going to talk about game 7. And then you can pick a bunch of things from that game, but I'm going to talk about Justin Abdelkader's shorthanded breakaway goal. The game wasn't over then, but it really sealed it. And it's such a great goal. The defensemen are trying to be all fancy, make some nice sneaky backhand passes stuff. He just steals it right away, scoots past everybody, and tucks it five hole on Jonas Hiller. And I love watching the highlights, seeing Hiller like look back and see it and then kind of just fall into his own net. Like he was just, he was trying to keep up the speed that Advocator was coming in with. And it's just excellent. Like, I mean, game seven is the best. Game sevens are the best in the playoffs. They're just excellent. We're going to have at least two, unless a couple games happen, go a certain way soon. We're going to have quite a few in the first round this year. There's nothing quite like it. Game sevens. Well, maybe game seven overtime, but anyway, that goal sticks out in my mind. Just the effort, the defensive play to intercept the pass, and then the move to score five hole. It's just burned in my brain. I can see the highlight right now. So that's my pick.
I was going to say, now I'm going to be spending the next hour to 2 hours on YouTube just rewatching some of these things. So absolutely phenomenal. Well, Logan, thanks so much for joining us today. Thank you at home for joining us today. And remember, check out the Hockey Writers Sports Betting Guide. It has all the info you need for odds, lines, props, and futures, as well as your daily fantasy strategies and analysis. Please remember, do so responsibly. If you or a loved one struggle with a gambling addiction, please seek help with the links we have provided in the description below. Don't forget, toss us a like, subscribe to the channel. Thank you, as always, for joining us for another grind. That's our show. We will see you next time.